judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day when every thought and word and action God the righteous judge shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away?
Welcome to the Escape for Thy Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity. Our speaker is Brother Nyron Medina.
Good day. This is Brother Medina for Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist. And please let us start with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Father, please be with us as we enter into this presentation. Bless everyone listening and help everyone to learn the value of what is being said. All for your glory's sake, we pray, Father, with thanksgiving unto thee. Amen. Well, we want to talk about the word justification today. We want to talk about the word justification. Why? Because there was a time in history when this word meant a lot for nations. Yes, my dear people. It meant a lot for Germany. It meant a lot for France. It meant a lot for England. It meant a lot for the U.S. At that time, they were just colonies. It meant quite a lot for Christianity all over the world. And it caused great changes in religion in Europe. It brought Europe out of the basic control of Catholicism and gave Protestant religion, the religion of Christ, to the world. Yes, my dear people. The word justification in the Bible, based upon what it really means, is so important and it is so necessary for our salvation and for the survival of a church, that the teaching of justification determines whether a church stands or falls. Yes, my dear people. Evil angels know this, and it is their intent that no one shall teach a true concept of what justification is all about. Because if that is taught, it will start in motion active forces of Christians that will go forth and preach the truth and have genuine victory over sin. Yes, my dear people. So it has been the studied policy of Satan and his evil angels to derogate and to destroy exactly what the justification actually means. So today, we want to show you from Scripture different things that explain justification. Yes, my dear people. Justification is based upon something so good that you can call it the change center of the plan of salvation. In other words, justification is that part of the plan of salvation where changes take place in a person's experience and determines a transition from sinning to obedience to God's commandments. And justification is what does this. Hence the importance of helping you understand exactly what justification is all about. But we want to first start off by showing you that justification determines whether a church stands or whether a church falls. If we look at Daniel chapter 11 and verse 34, we are given here a prophecy of the Reformation that came in the 16th century, the early 16th century, and it tells us what was going to happen in the Reformation. In Daniel 11:34, here is what we are told. I quote, "Now when they shall fall," that is the church, "they shall be helped with a little help." Did you see that? Let me quote again. "Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help." Now this portion of this scripture is what we are looking at here. It is telling us that when the church falls, it will be helped with a little help. What does it mean to help a church? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 8 and verse 9 tells us this. I quote, "He is near that justified me. Who shall control me?" Let me repeat that again. "He is near that justified me. Who will contend with me?" It goes on, "Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, Yahweh God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me?" We will stop right here. Did you see that? We are being told, "He is near that justified me. Who will contend with me?" We are also being told here, "Behold, Yahweh God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me?" So here, justification, or being justified, is identified as being helped. When Yahweh helps you, he justifies you. And this is true. A person who is in sin, or who is sinning, if you want to help the person stop sinning, you need to justify the person. So it is justification that God uses to help a person from sinning to obedience or to righteousness. Yes, my dear people. Justification therefore means and determines whether a church stands or falls. Because if the church is falling, God helps them with justification. So it is justification that determines whether a church stands or whether a church falls. Yes, my dear people. This is how very important justification is to all of us as a church. Now, justification has been presented by religions today in a wrong way. They have given us the idea that justification is God declaring you righteous, but no change takes place. God just sees you as if you're righteous. He just counts you as if you're righteous, but you're not righteous. That's how they present justification. But that is a deterioration of the true teaching of the biblical doctrine of justification. That's not the truth. And any church that teaches that is dead in sins. They may have the name Christianity, they may have the name Christ, but they are not spiritually alive. Because justification determines a person being spiritually alive. Now, the first thing we want to show you about justification is that the Bible tells us that justification changes us or converts us. Listen to me carefully. The Bible presents justification as something that changes a person or converts a person. Notice this very carefully. If it changes you or converts you, it means that justification determines a person being totally different. Yes, my dear people. So that the Bible shows us that once you are in sin, when you are no longer in sin but in righteousness, you have been justified. That is what your Bible teaches you. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and we read verses 9 to verse 11, here is what we are told. I quote, Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter into the kingdom of God. So notice certain sins identifies here that will keep us out of the kingdom of God. These are certain sins that are identified in the Bible that will keep a person out of the kingdom of God. But what does it tell us? It continues. And such will some of you. Did you see that? And such will some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. End of quote. So what does it show us here? It shows us washed is the washing of regeneration or renewing. Sanctification here is separation from sin, and justification here is to be made righteous. But notice what we are told. We were practicing those sins, but it is justification that stopped us. Justification made the difference. It didn't say, and such are some of you, but you are justified. It didn't say that. So it didn't show that you have sin in you when you are justified. It says, such were some of you. And it shows why we have been stopped from being like that. It shows what stopped us from being like that. It says you were justified. So justification stopped us from being those corrupt, sinful things that we were doing. Therefore, justification changed us. There is the word, changed. Therefore, it converted us. Convert means a change from one position to another. Because it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. So it means to say, we were once in those sins, but we are no longer so. So that means we have been converted from one sinful state to righteousness. And that's what justification is. Conversion. It is a change or conversion. That's clearly what you are seeing here. Yes, my dear people. And this is the reason why justification is important, because it is, in fact, the change center of the plan of salvation. Yes, my dear people. We also want to show you that justification is the non-imputation of sin and the imputation of righteousness. Notice this, the non-imputation of sin and the imputation of righteousness. What does that mean? That if God says it is the non-imputation of sin, it means you have no sin. But if it is the imputation of righteousness, it means you have righteousness. So instead of sin, you have righteousness. So that means you no longer have sin, but you have righteousness. Because the word impute means to give. Accounting, a mental counting that gives. That's what it is. A mental estimation that gives. So God in his mind mentally esteems you so, and this actually makes you so, a creative act. That's why we are told, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So we are looking now to show that justification is the non-imputation of our sins and the imputation of righteousness. If you look at Romans chapter 4, and we read verse 8 first, and then we will go back and read verse 6, here is what we are told. I quote, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Did you see that? And that is the sin of the carnal mind. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So here is the non-imputation of sin. Now let us see the imputation of righteousness. Verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. End of quote. Did you see that? So what do we have here? We have the imputation of righteousness, but we also have the non-imputation of sin. So justification is the non-imputation of sin and the imputation of righteousness. Yes, my dear people. So it means you have no more sin, but now you have righteousness. Proof it is that Abraham had righteousness can be seen in verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being uncircumcised. Did you see that? Notice he received the seal or the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was yet uncircumcised. So the righteousness of faith which he had. So when God non-impute the sin of Abraham, we have here he has no sin. And when God impute righteousness to him, he has righteousness. Yes, my dear people. And that's what justification is. That's what your Bible shows you justification is. But justification is also the gift of the Holy Spirit. You do not have a person who is justified without the Holy Spirit. A person cannot be justified and they're spiritless, not having the Holy Spirit. So justification is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how God gives us the Holy Spirit, by justifying us. If we look at Galatians chapter 3, we will read from verse 7 to verse 9, and then verse 14, and then we will read Galatians 4:6. You would see that justification is the gift of the Holy Spirit in the heart. Let's read Galatians 3, and we look from 7 to 9. I quote, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So that they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Did you see that? We are being told so far that God justify Abraham through faith, and that justification through faith which Abraham had was the blessing that Abraham had, that the Gentiles were to receive also. But the Bible then clearly explains, what is that blessing? We know justification gives it, but what is that blessing? Justification was given to Abraham, but what was the blessing that goes as he's justified? What is that blessing that goes with that justification? Verse 14 tells us that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. End of quote. Did you see that? So we are clearly told the blessing of Abraham, which is justification, is the gift of the Holy Spirit through faith. And where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Galatians 4:6 tells us, "And as concerning that ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." End of quote. Did you see that? So then, therefore, when God justifies you, he gives you the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's the blessing of Abraham. So what does this mean? That justification transforms us. It is transformative, because whereas we did not have the Holy Spirit as a gift, but only convicting us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, now we have the Holy Spirit as a gift dwelling in our hearts. And how did it come? It came by the blessing of Abraham, which is a gift of the Spirit, true justification. Yes, my dear people. And so justification is the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a very important teaching, one we must always remember. But not just only that. The Bible also shows us that justification is the gift of sin freeness. You say, what? Can you show that in your scripture? Yes, my dear people. The Bible does tell us that justification makes us sin free. It is the gift of sin freeness. All we have to do is to look at Romans chapter 6, and it will show us this. So we are going to read Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2 first of all, and then we would read verse 6 and verse 7, and then verse 18 and verse 22. So let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. Here is what we are told. I quote, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Now let's just stop here and assess what we have just read. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's what the question tells us. We are told, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This tells us that we cannot continue in sin for grace to abound to us. So if you cannot continue in sin, it means you must stop sinning. Because the next verse tells us, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It tells us that a person who is dead to sin does not continue in sin. A person who is dead to sin does not live any longer therein. That's what we are being told. Now we are going to read verse 6 and verse 7 to show how we are made dead to sin. I quote verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." Now your old man is your old way of thinking. So it is the carnal mind. Because the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the old man is the old way of thinking. And we are told, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed." Now in the Bible, the phrase "body of sin" means the perverted or corrupted emotions that flow in the body. And the word "destroyed" there is the word "inactivated" in the Greek text. So it reads thus, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be inactivated." So if the old way of thinking, the sinful way of thinking, is crucified, then the corrupt emotions are inactivated. It cannot flow. It goes on, "that henceforth we should not serve sin." Did you see that? It says, "that henceforth we should not serve sin." So it means that once the old man is destroyed and the body of sins, the perverted emotions, are inactivated, we do not serve sin. So if you do not serve sin, then you're not living any longer daring in sin. That's the point. You're not living any longer daring in sin. You do not continue in sin that grace may abound. Because the old man is dead and the body of sins are inactivated. But verse 7 tells us, "for he that is dead is freed from sin." Did you see that? He that is dead, so if you're dead, we are told, that is dead to sin, you're not supposed to be living in sin. But it says, "for he that is dead is freed from sin." Now there's a word there in that text that needs to be changed. The word is not "freed" in the Greek text. In the Greek text, the word is "justified." So if we were to read it according to the Greek text, I quote, "for he that is dead is justified from the sin," the sin of the carnal mind. That is the actual Greek text. "For he that is dead is justified from the sin." Did we see that? So in other words, to make you dead to sins, God justify you from the sin. And since being dead to sin means you're not living in it anymore, therefore justification made you dead to sin, therefore not living in sin anymore. In other words, justification freed you from sin. But then the Bible uses the term "free," sin freeness. The term "freedom from sin" is a biblical teaching. If we go further in Romans chapter 6 to verse 18, here is what we are told. I quote, it tells us this: being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Did you see that? It says being then made free from sin. The then is when you were justified. For he that is dead is justified from the sin. So being then made free from sin, that is when you were justified. So justification makes you free from sin and make you become a servant of the righteousness of God. And verse 22 tells us again, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. End of quote. So what do we see here? That justification makes us free from sin. And if it makes you free from sin, then justification makes you sin free. Yes, my dear people. This is what your Bible teaches. This is biblical teaching. Notice I did not give any interpretation to scripture. I merely read it plain and explained what it says to you. And here, when you look at justification, it is not presented in the Bible in any way as these churches present it now. These churches have fallen away from the true concept of justification. They've given up the true biblical concept of justification. Do you know that justification even places the righteousness of God in you? Yes, my dear people. In Romans chapter 3, we read verse 24 first, and then verse 22. Here is what we are told. Verse 24 tells us, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we know the subject of the discussion here is justification. And verse 22 tells us this, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith of Jesus Christ, into all. Now in your Bible you will see unto all, but the actual Greek word is E-I-S-E-S, into. So it is, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, into all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So when the righteousness of God is into you, you wear it as a garment. Where is it? The Bible clearly tells us, I have not hid thy righteousness in my heart. So the righteousness of God is given into the heart. So justification places the righteousness of God in your heart. That is a change, an inner change, a mental change. Therefore, justification is a subjective change, a change that takes place in you. That's what your Bible shows you. So what does this show us? That justification is important for the church because it is the change center of the plan of salvation. It is that which makes us sin free. It is that which transits us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, because you have the Holy Spirit. So it is what changes us from sinning to obedience, because justification makes you literally obey the commandments of God. Yes, my dear people. Let's quote our last scripture here to show you that justification makes you obey the law of God. I quote Romans chapter 3, 30 and 31. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. End of quote. So when God justify you, instead of making void the law, you establish the law. It is established in your life. You keep the law. Therefore, justification makes you obedient to the law of God. That's what your Bible teaches you. Now, why have we said these things? We have said these things for the churches to get back to the true meaning of justification. Go in your Bible, study, forget what pastor tells you, forget what theological books tell you, forget what the theological institutions tell you, and get back to your Bible. Justification is indeed a change. It is the change center of the plan of salvation. So, may God bless you as you absorb these teachings through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Thank you for joining us for another Escape for the Life with a broadcast brought to you by the Independent Thusia Seventh-day Adventist Church. Remember that you can contact us by calling 528-2123 or 531-7558. You can also find us on the World Wide Web at www.thusiastaevangel.com. That's thusiastaevangel.com. Here you will find today's program in our radio program archives. And until our next program, may God richly bless you.
The judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand?